Hello, this is Vasant from All Out for No Loss. And with me, I have Anand Kumar Sankaran, Ramakrishnan G. Iyer, and Vijay. So, Champions Trophy, that's what we're going to talk about today, or at least what has transpired so far and what's going to happen further on. We've had 8 games. Well, one could say 7 games, with one of them being washed out completely. For most part, many of these games are very one-sided. Once a team went on the ascendancy, the other team really didn't catch up. There were a couple of games that went to the wire, but overall, pretty good tournaments. Of course, the hosts must be very disappointed given the way their team has played. Or shall we call them the official hosts?
So, yeah, when you say hosts, you have to be careful and clear.
Right. The whining and the moaning from the English and Australian media deserves its own episode. There we go. So it started off in Karachi, New Zealand versus Pakistan. This was fresh off a tri-series where New Zealand beat Pakistan twice to win the tri-series. Your thoughts, Ram?
Tournament opener was exactly as it, you know, as we expected it to be. At least when we spoke about this as part of our preview coming into the Champions Trophy, one of the things that we did say between us, Vasant, was that New Zealand was actually going to win this very easily, and we had the data of the tri-series behind us by then as well. And I guess that's kind of really how it went to plan. Will Young making 100. Tom Latham also making 100. Tom Latham has come back to roaring form. And importantly, you know, they were able to do quite well without Rachin Ravindra in the middle order. So pretty one-sided game. 60-run victory. I mean, nothing unremarkable went exactly to plan.
And you had a trademark Glenn Phillips catch also.
You forgot Glenn Phillips batting. He's the one who finally floored it. Glenn Phillips is everywhere. So one of these games, I think DK and somebody else was commenting about the fielding standards of Pakistan and India. And they were like, okay, India is superior to Pakistan, but New Zealand is at a different level. And of course, you have Glenn Phillips, who's both point, gully and cover all at once. And Pakistan was trying desperately to find an extra fielder. And now you have like these 3 fielders in one. So yeah, complete performance. This New Zealand team looks rock solid. They're like no gaps here, and they all delivered.
Glenn Phillips also bowled. He picked up wickets. He was turning the ball. And so was Michael Bracewell. And guess what? The 2 players who had been underwhelming for a long time were the ones who scored the hundreds. Will Young and Tom Latham. In fact, everybody thought that Will Young wouldn't make the playing 11, but for the Ravindra injury. And guess what? 2 brilliant hundreds, 1 big acceleration, and then the go slow by the Pakistan openers. 22 runs for 2 wickets in 10 overs. It's inexplicable. There is no
64 runs for Babar Azam of 90 deliveries at a strike rate of 71.
So 12 overs between the time Will Young was out. When Will Young was out at the 37th over, New Zealand was 4 for 191. Glenn Phillips and Latham scored 125 runs in 12 overs. That was the game.
It comes back to that one aspect that when you don't go in with 5 bowlers, you're going to get hurt. When you're relying on part-timers, and that's exactly what happened. Pakistan goes in with 4 bowlers. Some of them are not even bowling properly. And then their part-timers are not kicking in.
No, actually, it's just their top 4 are the ones who went for runs.
That is true.
They got away with the 5th and 6th bowler. So, yeah.
On we go to the next match across the Gulf of Oman out in Dubai. Bangladesh versus India, the standard banana peel. By the time some of us even realized that the match had started, the match was effectively over with Bangladesh 5 down for 30-odd.
And then Rohit goes on to drop that catch.
That guy, Hirudai, right?
He dropped
the other guy. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, a drop is still a drop.
That drop was not just still a drop. That was an atrocious drop.
We await the next treasure with bated breath to find out if Rohit Sharma took Akshar Patel out for dinner.
Yeah, that was his promise. But another ODI with 2 more centurions, right? There were 2 centurions here as well.
But and 2 different innings, though.
Yeah. That is true. And Kimber, I was listening to Jared Kimber's India versus Pakistan summary, and he said, Gill will be scoring centuries in one-day internationals long after one-day internationals are done and nobody's playing it. Looks like ODI is Gill's favorite and appropriate format. So, yeah, he delivered.
Wisden did an analysis of Kerr versus Gill at, I think, at a similar stage of their career. I mean, Tendulkar didn't start great, but I think Gill is ramping up in the numbers right now.
Well, isn't Navjot Singh responsible for Tendulkar, the opener?
Is it again the New Zealand thing? Neck sprain.
Neck spasm. Sachin went to open some 79 in 47 balls and that was it. Until Greg Chappell came, this guy was opening. Very similar to Navjot Singh Sidhu being responsible for Saurav Ganguly and Rahul Dravid becoming test players.
But again, back to your comparison, Vijay, I haven't watched this Wisden comparison, but I mean, Gill has 52 games and he's averaging 62. Was averaging in the low 30s till he played that famous game.
Maybe I misquoted. I think it was Gill today versus where Tendulkar ended his career. So I think Gill is still on a good ramp.
More than a good. I mean, because Tendulkar was a nobody on his 52nd ODI game.
I mean, we were playing Sri Lanka so many times, man, even then, right?
Yeah, but that Sri Lanka had a few bowlers, not like now.
Anyway, so we got a Gill 100 well, there, anyway, which is fantastic. We had, they thumped the Bangladesh bowlers all over the place, which was nice to watch as well. So yeah, yet again, another bowler.
Yeah, the only part was that was sort of funny was as Gill was approaching his 100 people, the cameras kept on going and focusing on Hardik Pandya. Given the possibility of him coming in and spoiling the opportunity of Gill hitting 100, nobody got out and he stayed. Rahul quietly scored a very, very good 42 in that.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. But anyway, that was a rout.
Shami got a 5.
Good game for India nonetheless. A boring game otherwise. So
it was a boring game.
Yeah. And then we hop over to Karachi, where South Africa took on Afghanistan in their first game. And Ryan Rickleton hit a splendid 100. And then South Africa did their usual thing of having a late charge and bumping up their run rate in the last 10-15 overs and then put up a big 300-plus score. And then predictably, their quicks just dismantled the Afghanistan top order. After that, it was just like people playing for stats, literally. Many pointed out that the issue with Afghanistan is they are good when they bat first, and if they can figure out a way to score 250, 300 runs, otherwise they are toast. Bada just went and laid base to their.
Remember, Hendrik Claassen did not play.
And
why did he not play?
Injury. They wanted to play it safe.
Injury.
And play him in the next game.
Yeah, I mean, even without Claassen, basically, you know, Rassie van der Dusen, Markram, and Miller, that's 4, 5, 6. Now, we add Claassen to that, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, this is...
No, but Claassen would probably have to come in for one of them. We'll see who plays in England.
Forward.
But...
Yeah. It should be van der Dusen, right?
No, van der Dusen has been the player in form, at least according to P-Dog.
Yeah, but they're not going to drop Markram. Markram scored, you know, a very quick 50. And I don't see South Africa ever dropping Miller, man. He's like the Lance Klusener equivalent, right?
And they can't drop Bavuma either. This time because he's been scoring runs also. So the only choice is Tony DeZorzi, who's also been scoring runs.
Yeah, yeah. I think leading up to this, he was probably their more consistent player up top as well. So it's a good problem to have for them. So maybe he wasn't injured after all.
But it was a very, very comfortable win. But more importantly, I think it bumped up their run rate, which makes a huge difference.
As somebody pointed out, that's the third game with at least one centurion.
Mm-hmm. And then the first game in Lahore, England versus Australia. And Ben Duckett just clobbered Australia.
Yeah, this was a good game, all things considered.
Yep.
It was fun to watch.
No, it was fun to watch. And Ben Duckett had a fantastic innings until he got around 130, 140, and then he slowed down. People slow down 90s. Who slows down 130, 140? I don't know. But yeah, he got tired. That's probably the thing.
He broke a 21-year-old record for the highest score in championship.
Lasted 4 days.
Some Pakistani commentator, I don't know if it's Shoaib Akhtar or one of them said, England lost because of Ben Duckett, because he didn't score fast enough. Right? And Alex Carey, at the end of the game, he basically said, given their bowling, he was candid. Given their bowling, he said, if they bat first, they have to score 400 or they don't stand a chance.
You can actually say Ben Duckett played at their test match scoring rate.
Correct.
Finally brought Darth Ball to the one day game. But that said, I'm still a little suspicious about this whole idea to play Jamie Smith at 3 and playing Joss Butler at 6. I don't know if that's what led to their ultimate.
It's a bizarre batting order. Like, why would you put Butler so far down? He's a tone setter.
And what kind of a team balance they have? They have so many bowlers in their squad.
I was saving my rant for the Afghanistan game, but yeah, might as well get it in.
No, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that they somehow perceived that Zampa is the biggest threat and Butler should be around to handle him. And not any of the others who are relatively new. Should Butler go early, then they expose themselves to Zampa. This is the kind of thinking that England brings to the game and foils their own chances.
They'll give wickets to Marnus Labuschagne, who was bowling medium pace in the beginning. You start bowling spin.
By that time, the game was going into a bizarre mode.
Wicket claimed that the pitch, the conditions obviously changed between the two innings.
Yeah.
And that's why they lost.
Even Liam Livingstone was saying how difficult it was to score in the later overs of their batting innings because the ball was soft, the pitch had slowed down. So Athirkai started their innings right after that. I mean, they'll find an excuse for everything. In fact, Sunil Gavaskar said the same thing in the DP World dressing room show. He said now they'll be busy finding some excuse or the other. Not saying that they played badly and those played opposition played better.
But what a save, huh? That Josh really, English innings was something, man.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. One was Josh English and whatever minor sniff of a chance they had when Alex Carey wasn't clearing the fielders. And then Maxi comes in and game over. Right? Maxi played a few AB de Villiers-like shots and that was it. That was game. And that somehow unlocked English. It was very interesting to watch. He was sedate when Carey was at the crease and then Maxi comes in and then it unlocks Inglis. Inglis just, you know, floored it.
Punjab Kings are going to open with Inglis and Prabhsimran Singh with Shreyas Iyer and Glenn Maxwell.
This is going to be an interesting team.
And then Shashank Singh and Marcus Stoinis. That's the lineup there.
Very interesting.
But Punjab Kings has always had teams like this before. A year or two ago, like Shah Rukh Khan was at 7 or something, like their top 7 were all hitters, right?
Oh,
I kind of remember.
Oh, they have got this Azmatul Omarzai also in their squad.
Yeah, Omarzai also. The thing about that game, Mark Wood bowled 57 balls or 58 balls, including the wide.
Yes.
Only 2 balls were less than 100. Batters hit it faster. That was the unfortunate thing.
I think the one over was actually the, on average, the fastest over ever bowled. All 6 balls were over 152 or something like that.
Yeah, 152 or something. Yeah. He only bowled 2 balls
That's
under 150.
Unbelievable.
And he was hit for 11 fours and 2 sixers. So the faster they come, the faster they go.
And this is one of the cases where you have to hide the facts and look at the truth, man. The true speed.
This is Pakistan, no? A place that is famous for saying, pace is pace, yaar. Produce this here.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And interestingly, Inglis kept wickets. Carey was a regular fielder. And he took a blinder.
That was the first round of games. Pre-tournament, everybody thought that the England-Australia game was a virtual quarterfinal as to who would go through along with South Africa. So Australia put their hand up pretty firmly. And similarly, they said the New Zealand-Pakistan game would be the other quarterfinal.
Sorry, was this also the highest run chase in Champions Trophy or something like that, right?
It was the highest run chase in Champions Trophy and the highest successful run chase by Australia also ever. But anyway,
Wait. Highest chase by Australia?
That's what I did.
The Wanderers game, who won again?
That was South Africa. They won.
Oh, South Africa won. South Africa chased. Okay.
Now we go to the second round and the marquee game, the big game, the hyped up game, the game that sort of is supposed to provide all the financial support for this tournament. India versus Pakistan in Dubai.
Stopped being a contest a long time ago.
Yeah. Like, and it was a terribly boring game.
Almost became the first game with no century and most,
yes.
We tried. Hardik Pandya tried. Shreyas Iyer tried.
Even Harris Rauf also tried.
I
mean, Virat Kohli tried.
Shreyas Iyer made a statement at the presser. You know, somebody asked him, you know, so do you you know, do you feel like the match was one-sided or something to that effect? And he said, you know, how many balls were remaining when the game got over? And the guy said, like, you won in the 46th over or something. Yeah, it took a little too long, I feel.
Oh, yeah. But this game was another proof that Shreyas Iyer is the best batter of mediocre bowling in the world. He just let it loose, man. Oh my God. Some of those sixes, it is at a different level. He just feasts on them. And, you know, and by the way, this is the second game that Rohit Sharma, I think he delivered. He delivered the first game, a quick fire 40 or odd runs. And this game also, he survived the, yeah. I think he batted 5 overs.
Power play is taken care of.
Yeah, Rohit Sharma is the MS Dhoni for the ODI team. MS Dhoni of CSK last year.
Yep.
Bats 5 overs, does his thing and then goes back.
What a ball that was. Huh? That instant ball that got him out. Last ball of the 5th over. My goodness.
There was a brilliant technical master, as he himself calls it, by Ashwin, where he shows what happened. And it's worth a watch.
Very interesting. You haven't watched it, by the way.
And he also provides another explanation of that Abraham ball, which got Shubman Gill, as to why these two were special. And he talks about the positioning of the feet, how they get locked in, how they're not able to handle the situation that the ball does more than what was expected. It was a
same episode quite in which he had Vidyut Shivaramakrishnan for company, correct? Yeah, so that is
right.
Worth a watch,
that is right.
Actually.
Nobody's going to talk about Abrar Ahmed's send-off or very weird.
I mean, it was strange, but it was not egregious, at least in my mind. Hardik Pandya also sort of waved.
Vasant, I didn't know how to react to that. It was that bad. Come on. He's like, what the hell was he doing? I was trying to come up with some emotion to it, whether I can be angry at it, I can laugh at it. I didn't know what to do with that expression that he was giving. That was not a proper send-off. It was not, you know, come on. Or what the hell, man?
I think that was inviting.
That's a good expression.
Yeah, it was kind of a mix. Was it a come on or was it a send-off?
He has got his emotions mixed. We can leave it at that.
That was a good ball, though. It took away from the whole ball. That was a wonderful leg spinner. Even then, I was wondering if he will go the other way, but then it didn't.
Not that there is anything wrong with that.
Not that there is anything wrong with it. It was not a wrong one at all.
Moving on. Bangladesh, really, New Zealand, Rawalpindi. So again, we get our customary 100, this time from Rachin Ravindra. So
what an innings that was.
They were in a bit of a bother in the chase, right? New Zealand.
I think they were two down very quickly. Third over, 15 for 2. Yeah.
Yeah, they lost Williamson, who so far had a quiet Champions Trophy, and William pretty much early. Yeah, then our CSK guys took over.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the previous game. The set of bowlers bowled exactly 2 good balls, and that was it. Rachin Ravindra was like imperious. Every chap who was doing whistle for day must be so happy. Incidentally, he's got the highest number of hundreds by a New Zealander in ICC trophies. He's got 4 in 11
games.
His
debut game at the World Cup was 100. His debut game at the Champions Trophy is also 100.
Yeah, he had 3 hundreds in the World Cup and now 1. So something like 11 games and 4 hundreds. Pretty decent. And I think there are a couple of 50s also thrown in just for the heck of it.
This begs the question. Should Rachin be opening for CSK or should he be batting in the middle order?
He'll open. It's between him and Devon Conway.
It'll be, Conway and the captain, right?
It'll be and either Conway or Ravindra. Rahul Tripathi at 3. And they'll play Huda 4, Dubey at 5, Karan at 6. Jadeja at 7, MS Dhoni at 8, Ashwin at 9. They'll throw in some Noor Ahmed fellow somewhere.
Khalil Ahmed.
So, yeah. And they don't need to play Khalil Ahmed, right? They can play Noor Ahmed at 10.
Probably be an impact player then, right?
No. He's always impact to the opposite team. So let him stay there at least.
So Pathirana and Tikshana.
No Tikshana in the squad. Yeah. Only Pathirana is there.
Khalil bowl well at Chennai last. I didn't have a good game for Delhi. Thought he bowled
well in the game in and I can tell you what he did. He bowled 4 white balls in a row. The batter couldn't take it any longer and then just swiped. And the next one was also wide and he got out. That's how he bowled. I remember that sequence. I have no idea why they paid money for him. Chennai is peculiar because they have batsman number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, who are all floaters. Yeah, anyway, I think we should get back to the Champions Trophy. Otherwise, we'll only go and talk about the IPL. So, but yeah, that is the Bangladesh-New Zealand one-sided romp. The much looked forward to game between Australia and South Africa was rained off.
We lost a firecracker of a game.
We don't know how well either of the team can react to better bowling as opposed to the stuff that they were facing earlier on. And then the eighth game of the tournament was the game of the tournament.
Yes.
Thoughts?
So I got a chance to watch the part of the chase. Like, I watched the second half for the most part. So I saw Root ramping up. I saw that time when he got out. I saw the Afghanis. They kept chipping away a wicket every now and then. And then, you know, it reached a place where they needed 50 of six overs. And then that's a place where Root got out and Afghanistan just took control of the game. Beautiful game. I mean, it could have literally have gone anyway, though. I mean, you could see the shoulders slump when Root got out, because I think, you know, Butler and all these guys sitting in the pavilion could see that. But boy, it was a really, really good game. And I felt like the Afghani guys played really, really well. I didn't watch the batting. Obviously, didn't want to wake up at 1 o'clock to do that. But apparently, Zadran also played an innings of a lifetime. I mean, I was reading some of the stuff from today morning, and apparently that was an amazing, the way he set it up.
No, it was the acceleration, right? First 10 overs under 40 runs, and then they started accelerating and reached wherever they ended up in. I mean, 170 runs against this attack is nothing to sneeze at. So this guy has talent. He has the presence of mind as to when to accelerate. And it was just a phenomenal innings that pretty much, I think, took the oxygen out of the England attack.
And in a team that barely has got two real batters.
And the other real batter hasn't flied. I'm assuming you're talking about Gurbaz.
Why does Afghanistan play Rashid at number 9 for ODI? Are the other batters much better than Rashid? I've never understood
classical
that.
Batters. I mean, somebody like a Nabi or an Azmat. I mean, they're more classical batters. And I think in the one-day format, you probably want to reward technique ahead of hitting skills.
He should bat up for sure. But the only thinking they might have is that he doesn't last long. He's a hit or miss.
Azmatullah Umarzai and Mohammad Nabi are very useful in the middle order. They can keep the scoring very brisk.
Yeah.
And Gulbuddin Naib, man, that guy's a revelation. Okay. And he'll bowl one over, he'll pick up a wicket, he'll do a catch, he'll score some runs, he'll just like
have cramps
everywhere. Yeah, he'll have cramps, he'll have everything.
But in particular, I was watching the Joe Root dismissal. Umarzai was deceptively quick. Root was beaten for pace, which I've not seen that before.
The problem the Afghan team of today has is that they don't have a genuine quick. Faruqi is the nearest to some quick bowling for them. Otherwise, it's all spin bowlers. And actually, they're just playing with two quicks. I mean, Faruqi and Umarzai. I mean, okay, Gulbuddin, I don't even know what he bowls. It looks quick because he runs from some distance, but then it's not exactly very quick.
The way Nabi still keeps going, right?
He wants to do a LeBron. He wants his son and him to play together. Until then, he'll keep
only 40 plus.
Yeah, I know his son already, I think, emerging or somewhere he made an appearance. With that, we finished two rounds of the tournament. And now we come to the four remaining games of the group stage. We've already identified two semi-finalists, India and New Zealand. South Africa have pretty much got one leg in the semi-finals. It will take a lot for them to be eliminated, but we have to remember that they only played one game, so a very bad loss in their last game against England might have an impact on their chances. But I think there is one virtual quarterfinal here, Australia versus Afghanistan. That's
going to be just from match preparedness. I mean, this is international cricket. Everybody is on all the time, all that. But think about it, right? I'm playing their second game in 2 days. And Australia is playing their second game.
It's not tomorrow. The game is 3 days from now.
Afghanistan is on the 28th, Friday.
28th. Okay, 2 days. One day gap. Okay.
Right. So basically, second game in 2 days. That's what I'm saying.
I mixed up the dates.
Australia, thanks to the rained out match, they're playing, they'll have a much bigger. So who is this going to work in favor, right?
It could go either way. But I would be hoping for an Afghanistan upset. And then if they have,
let me throw another wrinkle. The forecast in Rawal on Thursday is bad. The game will probably get washed out between Pakistan and Bangladesh. Nobody's interested.
If they do find the match, we'll find out that, you know, Mohammad Issam from Cricinfo is actually representing the team, something.
I get Usman Samiuddin. Exactly. But then the game between Australia and Afghanistan might be hit by the weather. So we might see a shortened game. But then we don't know how good the weather forecasts are. But there's potential of a late start, a shortened game, a 30-over shootout. Now, the shorter the game, the more the advantages it is for the Afghanistan team. There's little doubt about that. So it's that would be my take.
Why do you say that? Australia doesn't have the bowling, whereas they're packed with batting. It may actually work out better for them as well.
The power hitting of the Afghan team is strong. Their weakness is their slow starts. When you're going to put them in a 30-over game, they're not going to think about defending. They're going to start hitting very, very early. Okay. And that might just work against a somewhat inexperienced or internationally inexperienced Australian attack. That is the reason why I'm saying this. And remember, Rashid Khan in a 4-over game is very different from Rashid Khan in a 10-over game. Rashid Khan in a 4-over game and Noor Ahmed in a 4-over game, they are very, very difficult to handle. So that's where I think the shorter the game, the better it is for Afghanistan. But Vijay, there's to your point, yes, the euphoria of the win from today and the lack of potential lack of readiness might be an issue for them come Friday.
Yeah, it was almost a full 100-over game.
This is another piece of nonsense that was being done by the scheduling group. There was no business for that game to be played on Friday. It should have been the India-New Zealand game, while the other game should have been played on Saturday and Sunday, because that's what they were doing, right? Group A, Group B, Group A, Group B. For obvious commercial reasons, and if you ask certain people to give advantage to India, they decided to play the India-New Zealand game on Sunday, the last. At the end of the day, one thing is sure, New Zealand is definitely going to Lahore for their semi-final. India is going to stay in Dubai. Just a matter of who's going to go and join them. Who would I like to see come through? South Africa and Afghanistan. And I would like New Zealand to beat South Africa in the semifinals.
So what do you think about the India-New Zealand game though?
I think India will win. New Zealand is playing very well, but this Indian team is looking in very, very good touch.
Both teams going in with 5 out of 5 wins in the last 5 games. So something has to give.
I realize that India only has one CSK player.
New Zealand has more.
Yeah, it's either India or CSK, man. I'll be happy.
My predictions, if there is no rain, Pakistan, Bangladesh, I think Pakistan should win this one because Bangladesh are really bad. And the Afghanistan, Australia, I would like Afghanistan to win. I'm not so sure. I think Australia is a little bit too much firepower. The England, South Africa, I'd rather have South Africa win, but it doesn't matter. India, New Zealand, I'm thinking India. What do you guys?
Yeah, I think pretty much the same. I think South Africa should win against England. I mean, England are like totally down and out. South Africa is doing well. They have momentum. And of course, while I would like Afghanistan to win against Australia, the reality might be that it might not quite be that. Australia might win. And of course, yeah, New Zealand, I think India should beat New Zealand.
Is it the first time after the double century Maxi will be playing against Afghanistan? Oh, they played the T20
World Cup. Afghanistan took down.
Knocked them out. Yeah, they knocked them out. Yeah.
If both of Maxwell's legs make it, then they lose.
Yeah, they lose. Did I hear it here? There was an analysis which basically pretty much says what Vijay said, which is the reason why Maxi was so effective that game was he couldn't.
He didn't have to feed. It was just like Nets training. The one thing I think, like just going back to the India-New Zealand thing, I have to double-check this. But I think New Zealand have been the most disciplined bowling attack. Fewest number of extras, all of that so far. That typically doesn't work for India. Like when a team is that disciplined, they get bogged down and then they start losing wickets. So that is something they have to overcome. That Matt Henry's opening spell is going to be critical.
We get 30 overs of Jadeja, Kuldeep and Akshar. It's hard. Come on, man. That's unfair.
I don't think we'll experiment. I think we'll still go with Rana and Shami.
Yeah, see, if Shami is fit, then they will go with the same team. If Shami is not fit, I was reading some tweets today about how he was struggling in the nets and he was taking it easy and he wasn't putting pressure on his ankle and things like that. So if they decide that it is not worth risking Shami hitting that injury of his, then of course we will see Arshdeep at that point.
And what we have to remember is the semifinal is just has only a day gap. Semifinal is on Tuesday.
Yeah, they need to think about rotating for
In fact, there might be a temptation to play Arshdeep ahead of Shami and then just like, yeah, sit tight. And then Arshdeep will come and pick five wickets and Shami won't see the inside of the team for next 1 year.
We're just looking at their squad. They actually have four CSK players. Santner, Conway, Rachin, and Daryl Mitchell.
Mitchell, four. That's what I said. Yeah.
I think India has only Jadeja. Right?
India only has Jadeja, yes. I mean, did we talk about Kuldeep's bowling against Pakistan?
No, we didn't,
but wow. Just wow. I have noticed our favorite podcaster has been going on and on about how Kuldeep is the best thing since sliced bread. I guess now that he's no longer competition, it's easy.
It's easy for him to say that. And he even said something to the effect that, look, Varun has been awesome. He's been great. He's a state mate of mine. And yet, I am forced to take Kuldeep's side because this guy is just simply too good.
He's pretty much told in all formats, he's first name there on the sheet, literally.
Oh, really?
It's insane the amount of praise that he's got.
Ashwin is covering upon Kuldeep as part of his podcast. Yeah.
Okay, so there we go. Champions Trophy. I guess we can meet up again once we know who's going to play the semifinals or perhaps after the first semifinal. Let's see. Depending upon how it goes. Yeah, the turnaround has to be very quick because there's only 1 day gap between the last group game and the semifinal. So until then, thank you, everyone. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.